Hello there and welcome back for another edition of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Furia, back at it again on another Friday night. And this Friday night, what I wanted to do was do a little bit more of a compare and contrast between living in Portugal and living in Italy. As I've been very surprised to find out, there are actually a number of you who've been subscribed to this channel who've actually been considering already a life in Portugal versus a life in Italy. And actually, even since even moving here to Braga, I've come out to find that there are actually some of you guys who have moved to Braga and we met on the street. Just one of those things. Anyway, so because I know there are some of these people that are comparing and contrasting, I wanted to respond kind of indirectly to a comment that I recently received on a video, actually from a while back. And actually, just to bust out the glasses, it was from a video that I posted quite a while ago, back from when I was living up in the far north in Alto Adige in Merano, the supermarket video, episode number 41. 200 episodes ago. That's crazy to think about. Anyway, the comment was left by Cleo C, and the question was, is this where you use the codice fiscale? And so, meaning at a supermarket. And so, I was just in the middle of writing a response to that comment, but while I was writing that comment, I was thinking, you know what, I may as well do some compare and contrast, but just before we get into the rest of this episode, I wanted to say a huge thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible on a monthly basis through Patreon, patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria or RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, as well as a big thank you to those of you who've made the one-time donations, and also a big thank you to those of you who've bought the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more. But of course, it is time that we get into the rest of this episode, so roll that intro. When we're talking about the Codice Fiscale versus the Portuguese tax code, the NIF, the Numero Contribuinte, what we are talking about is roughly the equivalent of an American Social Security number. However, there is a lot more that these end up getting used for. In Italy, the code is an alphanumeric number, and it comes along with a plastic card. But the plastic card is actually, nowadays, it depends. If you're a citizen and on the National Healthcare Service, then you're going to get the blue card, which is actually your tessera sanitaria, your national health insurance card. But if you're not living in Italy, or I believe also for non-Italian citizens, they still issue maybe the green card. I don't remember because I know there was a change in the system and it was after I got mine because I ended up being issued both one of the green cards as well as after when I moved to Italy, a blue healthcare card. So the green card is just the Codice Fiscale on their own, but they don't really do that so much anymore. But at this moment in time in Portugal, there doesn't actually seem to be a plastic card that you are given for your number. I think this is something for Portuguese citizens. They may be have it attached to their ID cards. I don't know, so I'm not going to make the comment on that 100% how that works, but just a little bit more about it. Like I was saying, the Italian number is an alphanumeric code, so that means letters and numbers, but the Portuguese code is 9 digits, so 9 numbers long. So just a little bit of a difference, not that it makes a huge difference at the end of the day, but when and where do you use them? So the question earlier was about if you use it in a supermarket, and theoretically you could use it. But let's talk about the Codice Fiscale in Italy briefly. In Italy, in my experience, you normally use it more when you are signing a contract. So for an apartment, for home, internet, phone, whatever it may be that you have to sign a contract for, or if you're joining up for a rewards card of some sort. Some websites online will make you use your Codice Fiscale if you are purchasing something domestically from Italy, but something like Amazon, I don't remember ever being asked for my Codice Fiscale unless it was for an international import and I was ordering from like Amazon.com and not Amazon.it. But another situation where you would end up using the Codice Fiscale is when you go to the doctor. So when you go there and they put you into the system to open up your file, you will give them your codice fiscale. And actually, even when, like I was talking about before, the national healthcare card, and that will have your codice fiscale on there, and that will be your identifier for the local and national healthcare system. Depending on what part of the country you're in, you may actually end up getting two tessere sanitarie, like one that is more the local system, and that's just on a piece of paper. Maybe you'll cut it out or something, but you don't necessarily have to keep that with you. And then the other will be the plastic card. But if you move from one region to another region, then you keep the plastic card until it expires. That was actually my situation. So even when I lived in the Veneto, my card from Alto Adige was still valid. So I still had my bilingual German and Italian healthcare, tessera sanitaria. Another situation where you might use it would be, say, at the bank when you're signing up for an account. Of course, this would be important to have, or taxes. Again, it makes sense to have a tax code that you would use that number to pay your taxes. But one place where it really differs in daily usage from the Portuguese tax code, the NIF, or the Numero Contribuinte, NIF stands, I believe, for Numero Identificativo or Numero de Identificação Fiscal, something along these lines. If you're a Portuguese speaker, feel free to correct me down in the comment section below. But one of the biggest differences is that in Portugal, when you are at the supermarket, or even if you're grabbing a coffee or going to the restaurants, you may actually get asked if you would like for your fiscal number to be used on the receipt. And so this is something that actually can make sense, because if you're a salaried worker, then you may actually be given a certain amount of money per month tax-free for your food. Like it's not that much. I think it's maybe like 5 euros a day or something along those lines. Whatever it is, it's not a huge amount, but it does make a difference at the end of the year. So if you're shopping at the supermarket, it may make sense to actually then in that case make sure that you're covered on all bases to then give it at the supermarket. But say, for instance, even like, for example, when you're signing up for contracts like phones, apartments, internet, all the same kind of situations in Italy that you might consider using it, you would use that here as well. The main difference is that it seems as though it's asked for a lot more here, just in my personal experience. But another big difference is also, for example, if you have a business out here and you're making purchases from other European Union countries, then in that situation, your business will have its own separate fiscal number, and that will end up offering various different benefits from a company or a business standpoint that I'm not going to get into in this video. But it's important to have that understanding that you have your personal number and that your commercial activities may have a separate number associated with it, just depending on how you're set up, if you have a company or whatever it may be. But even, for example, one other big difference, even when signing up for phone services here, you only really seem to need the NIF, at least in my experience, if you are going to have a contract. If you're getting a prepaid plan, then it doesn't seem like you're really asked for it. At least that's been my experience so far. Just unless you wanted it on your receipt, not directly attached to the phone number itself. However, in Italy, I can't say even that there are so many options to be able to get a prepaid phone plan. But also, like again, in Portugal, another similarity to the Italian system, your tax code will be affiliated with the local healthcare system. Just another thing to keep in mind. And so it actually can help make things go a little bit easier. So what I know some people do is they actually print out a piece of paper, or maybe they laminate it like a card, and they keep it in their wallet just so that when they're asked, while they're still learning their NIF, that they can just either hand it to the person behind the counter if their skills in Portuguese aren't so great, or they just have it so that they can read it off themselves. It ends up being quite useful. So I can say, kind of going back to having a business here in Portugal, instead of for me having to memorize both numbers, I have my business tax code on a card that I can just hand off to the person behind the counter so that they can make sure that they put in the information correct. Less chance of something going wrong between what I might say and their ears, just so that there's no confusion. So this is something that actually I do in that case when I'm making a business purchase, because that's something that you have to keep your receipts and share your receipts. I mean, that's just makes sense, of course, wherever you are. But what about actually getting these numbers? This is one situation where I would say Italy would be a lot easier to deal with in some ways than Portugal, where there are in many other cases, I may actually say that Portugal is a bit easier to deal with in some ways than Italy can be. But just to get the tax code for Italy, you can make a request to a consulate, or if you're in Italy itself, you can go down to the local tax office and you'll have it like in just a few minutes. And they'll print it out on a piece of paper. You might not get like the plastic card itself, but you'll at least have your identifier. If, for example, you're somebody that wants to purchase a home or rent an apartment or whatever it is that you might need the codice fiscale for, a bank, that's a big one, like I was saying, then in that case, you can run down to the office, grab it, and finish. Whereas in Portugal, it's a bit of a different situation. If you're not in the country itself, you'll have to go to a notary, get signatures notarized, and then send off documents to Portugal. But then, if you're not a Portuguese citizen, you'll fall into one of two different categories. For non-EU, I believe what the situation is that you actually have to have somebody go with you or go on your behalf as your representative and submit the papers to get the fiscal code that way with them attached to your file. But if you are an EU national and doing it inside of Portugal, I believe in that case you can go on your own. However, even if you are EU but living outside of Portugal, then you'll have to submit signatures and notarizations in a very different way. Like I was saying, you'll have to mail things in, and then it'll end up being potentially a little bit of a headache. That was definitely my situation. I wanted to get my fiscal code before arriving in Portugal, and so I had to jump through so many hoops because a notary in Italy, if you've watched any episodes of the Italian Citizenship or Real Estate podcast that I do with Marco Permunian, the Italian attorney from Italian Real Estate Lawyers and Italian Citizenship Assistance, I mean, these guys are like super lawyers. I'm talking about, well, also Marco and his team, but specifically notaries in Italy, they have to be very highly educated and they're very specifically skilled, and there can only be X amount. It's a public position that there are public competitions to be able to get. There's only X amount that can be in a place, and it's a whole thing. And so their education also has to go beyond the normal attorney that you'll end up running into in Italy. So their prices also end up reflecting that. And my issue that I ran into when I was in Italy was that to go and get a signature notarized, I don't know, it was going to be like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds per signature. In the end, for me, plus a couple other family members, it was going to be literally thousands of euros. It was so crazy to have to even think about. That I ended up not doing it that way. And I found an online notary from the US who was able to take care of everything there. It ended up being significantly less in the end. Notaries in America, much less easier to deal with. Even online, when you're paying a bit more for those services, it was still a lot less than what I would have had to pay for in Italy. Because also in Italy, they needed me to translate the document, and then also part of the fee for the service of the signature was that they had to make sure that the document was legal in Italy. And I don't need the document to be legal in Italy. I needed the document to be legal in Portugal. The document that I had to sign was giving over fiscal representation to a company here in Portugal that was going to make the request on my behalf. I ended up finding a number of companies throughout the country that help people through these processes. Some of the prices were like 200 or 300 euros per person. I ended up finding a company that ended up doing it for like, I want to say 30 per person. So big differences there. This is one thing that you really have to shop around whenever you are seeking out any kind of expat services or services that are targeted. in the direction of somebody who doesn't speak the local language, you have to make sure you're not paying the expat tax. So the reason also why I wanted to get it before arriving in the country was because I wanted to sign the rental agreement for the apartment before arriving here. So just that I was able to arrive at the airport and come straight to the apartment where I live now. So that ended up working out, but there were some hurdles to jump through and some headaches along the way. Whereas if I'd come here directly, because I'm EU, theoretically, I should just be able to go to the office, make the request on my own. No big deal, no question. But if you don't have a residence and apartment and this, it's anyway, it ended up being just easier to work through somebody who's able to facilitate that process and help me along. And after the whole process was over, once I had my Portuguese fiscal number and had also the apartment rented and everything taken care of with registration for living here, then I had to go through the process of changing the registration with the tax office to change my registration from being with the original company, the individuals who helped me, to take them off and then also update the address. It wasn't too difficult, but going through the Portuguese Tax Authority's website is definitely a little confusing. And even with really good instructions, I'm great with tech. I'm great with finding things on websites. I have usually no problems, but even for me, it was like, whoa, buddy, what's going on here? So definitely, like I was saying, when you're comparing and contrasting these two countries, the Italian fiscal number is much easier to get. But of course, the fiscal code, tax code, is really only one piece of the puzzle for your greater overall experience in a country. And this is not going to be a decision that should make or break or be anything that would be a deciding factor as to why or why not you should move to a country. But the reason why I'm making this, like I said, is because I know there are some of you who watch these videos and listen to these podcasts as audio-only podcasts that are thinking about maybe going to one country or the other. So I wanted to make this episode to give you a little bit of a reality check and to kind of just give you a little bit of an idea of when, how, and why some of these things might be used. So I hope this has helped. And of course, if you're interested in more content like this about life abroad, living abroad as an Italian dual citizen expat, or anything that may be related to living in another country, be sure that you are subscribed with that notification bell turned on. And if you could also give this video a like and share it with your friends, that would be very much appreciated. And of course, a huge, huge thank you to those of you who help to make these episodes possible through Patreon, rafaeldifuria.com/Patreon or patreon.com/rafaeldifuria. Also a huge, huge thank you to those of you who help through the one-time donations, as well as the purchases of the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more. Of course, as always, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there. Of course, this has been another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and I will see you all next time. Later.